In today's episode, your favorite bunch of idiots forgot to press record. Welcome to a very special mini episode. Welcome to Funsphere Game Club. I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
Okay. You're Samantha. You know what? We're going to play a special episode today. This is called Welcome to Funsphere Game Club Speed Version. So
somebody forgot to hit record.
Because we're a bunch of idiots, as just been pointed out to us.
There is not a single button in front of me.
And we shit to do, so...
We gotta hustle, folks.
We gotta knock this out.
Overwatch 2. Yeah. Server issues. Battle Pass, I like.
There's a dog in my crotch. Get that dog out of my crotch.
It's you don't gotta give them a dollar if you don't want to, but you can. Phone numbers.
Yep. Creepy.
I can't wait to report people.
We can't do this.
Oh, but we can. So I've been playing Skyrim.
Oh, tell us more about that, Mike.
Todd.
It's like the 50th time I've picked the game up.
Have you ever beat it all the way through?
Yeah, I think I did on the 360. I just didn't do the... I didn't do all of the... What was it? Dawnguard and something else, like the DLC.
Okay.
I did... What drives me crazy is I did a lot of... the house stuff, and then trying to do it on this playthrough, it seems impossible. Like, how did I ever have everything built in that other house? And I hoard everything.
That's an interesting thing that comes up with a lot of these games is the hoarding, the issues of, like, some people are like, I keep everything and I will never ever use it because what if I need it later?
Mm-hmm.
And then you beat the game and you have all that stuff you never did anything with.
Well, and it's so bad in this game that the menu lags every time I open a chest with stuff in it because there's so many items. Like, it's slowing my entire game down.
Because of the Switch.
Switch.
Well, it did it on the 360, too.
Well, yeah. And to be honest, the Switch and the 360, the first versions of 360s are pretty comparable when it comes to hardware at this point.
Well, you know what? I would love nothing more than to be able to transfer what I've already done from the Switch to the Xbox. But for whatever reason, all these million variations of Skyrim, they haven't cracked the code to cloud saves or cross-platform saves.
Well, I was going to say, Switch doesn't play well with cross-platform stuff to begin with, does it?
Yeah, but it has to be in the code. Like... everything you've done in the game, even if it doesn't save, like, certain things, like, they should at least give you a base kind of roundabout way of where you are in the game.
Okay.
But no.
Yeah, they want you to buy all three versions and then play the game on all three versions, all three systems.
Mm-hmm.
I would need three more lives.
Samantha, I'm going to move back to you. Do you want to say more about... I was just joking about the speed run, if you want to give it a real...
What? Oh, no.
Okay.
I think we covered it, right?
Well, no. I was gonna say, we didn't record the first time. I was going to say, why don't you do a real one, and I'll cut the speed.
Oh, my God. We're not recording it yet.
Lying.
Kidding.
Okay.
600 hours on Widow. I was thinking that, that came out of my mouth before I forgot to not say it. I mean, whatever. Remembered. Anyway. Overwatch 2 is pretty good, despite the double DDoS. And, yeah, because this morning I was able to get on. No queue, no server issues, back to normal. It's great.
Okay.
I adjusted my... I'm not colorblind, but the lighting in that game makes me a bit. So I adjusted my colorblind settings. Now I can see where I'm aiming. It's gorgeous. The new healer is really fun. And I like the battle pass. I like getting actual rewards for grinding.
Okay.
Like mail-in
rewards. I'm going to get about 28 packages.
She's been cutting the box tops off of cereal boxes to mail in for Overwatch rewards.
I mean, we need more games where they mail you shit for doing well.
Okay, but it's weird to give your phone number, but yes. Your address?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they have all that regardless of if I give them permission.
No one knows where I live. My car is registered at my mom's house. Something's registered at my sister's house. I got other things registered to my apartment.
Well, I was going to say, but we do know that Kurt Russell and a bear both know where you live, thanks to our prior episode.
Right. I don't know. I don't think they came looking for me specifically.
Oh, just...
just unlucky.
Just unlucky to deal with Kurt Russell and a bear. Okay, so I have also had the call of Skyrim recently. I'm debating...
I remember you were a very tough sell for that game for the longest time.
Yes.
Like, you even played it and hated it.
I did, because I had just recently gotten used to Fallout 3, and then I was like, oh, this is like that, but it's swords and stuff, so it's not quite as good. Because I usually play like a shooter character on Fallout, so I was like, oh, this is like playing Melee, and I was like, I didn't like that. But it's one of those games I have picked up and played and abandoned and then come back years later, try it again. Like, I've never beaten it.
You keep restarting or just
I do. I am not a pickup from a save file guy.
See, I think that this game is easier than a lot of, like, if it's a typical RPG, yeah. If I let it down for more than a couple of weeks, I'll come back and be like, I have no idea what I was doing. So I have to start over.
Might as well. Yeah.
But with this, like, everything is so, like, the way your quests are broken down, you just, even when you've completely forgotten what you've done, it just says, go do this. So you follow the next marker and you're back in it.
But the biggest game I've been playing recently is a game I like to call eBay. I decided...
eBay Simulator.
Not eBay Simulator. It's the real deal. You need a credit card to use it.
How long do you think it'll be before that actually is a game?
I'm surprised if it's not one already.
Like a flipper.
I bet there is a game on Steam that is pretty much exactly what we're describing.
But Flipper 22.
I do that with clothes.
So I've been, my PS2 had been dead for a while, so I was like, I think I kind of need to get a replacement for some games that I have, because I have a problem of, I've got shelves of some games, but I have no way to actually play them right now. So I was like, all right, I'm going to search for PS2s, and found them to be in extremely high demand and wanting a lot of money for them right now.
Really?
Yes, PS2 specifically. But then I found PS3s, and I was like, oh, the market's not as hot for those right now.
Well, there's a reason.
And so in the recent times, I've been rebuilding my PS3 collection. I found a PS3 that was being sold by a charity organization, so the purchase was helping folks out, not just going into some person's wallet, which I don't have a problem with either way, but I was like, at least that's a nice thing to do. But I've been, like, going through, like, setting it back up. I found, I had games that I had purchased that I kind of forgot about. Not a lot. But then I was like, I'm going to start buying the games that we can't get electronically anymore. That have been delisted and stuff like that, to kind of follow up on our last conversation about all the issues with listings and delistings and stuff like that. And that's been kind of fun, and it's still kind of shocking to see the prices that certain games go for, and I'm like, why are things ever delisted? Why can I not buy that? But I've been been doing that recently instead of really playing, and it's also because it's football season. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I want to be able to remote play my PS3 on my PS Vita that I have. I was like, that's so cool. Wait a minute, why can't the PS5 remote play? Oh, it can't. And it's just like, but I've been working on that more than anything else that I've been playing, of just like, oh, I'm going to try to get this game. I'm not going to pay that much for this game. I'll pay this much. And so just, I guess I've been playing a mobile game because I'm doing all this on my phone too. So
there you go. I might still have my PS2.
So let me ask you guys, I know that I've done this. Have you ever gotten rid of pretty much everything and then had to rebuild it?
Yeah, I've moved like 85 times.
And you always sell it and then rebuild?
No, I just throw it all. I leave it for somebody, or, I mean, like, well, okay, last time I moved out of state.
Right.
A lot of my things were, I just gave to people.
Okay. But
yeah, pretty much.
I was going to say.
And then you miss it.
Yeah.
Want it back.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Mike, I know that you are a pretty avid collector to the point of you keep all the boxes and manuals and other stuff like that. So I don't think you've done this like I have before.
No. Do you not remember I sold...
I know you sold games.
Most of my collection. I still have the systems, but most of my old games I don't have anymore. I've just gone to the point of like making sure that I do have a way to play stuff. So like everything NES, SNES.
That's all backed up.
Yeah. There are ways to play them.
Yes, completely legal little backup copies that you have. Yes, correct.
But there's some stuff, especially once you get into like the DS, I'm worried that those will never exist.
That's kind of what I've been, something I've been thinking about when I've been buying these games. I was like, wow, this is literally locked on this system and this disc only. And there's no way to get this unless you pony up for the original hardware and stuff like that. And so many of these things are starting to get into that point of, like failures for the systems. They're just getting that much harder to keep up and running or to be able to repair and stuff like that. So
emulators.
Well, unfortunately, PS2 and PS3 and Dreamcast games are kind of difficult to emulate perfectly anyway. I'll say that. You know, you can get an SNES and NES game to work on pretty much a refrigerator at this point, but the more
it's Mario Paint.
Unless exactly. But there's always going to be something that like you can't recreate. You can't digitally recreate for some reason.
I have all my DS games still, and my Fire Emblem 3DS XL, which I prefer. It's big.
Yeah.
I have the first 3DS. Like when we all pre-ordered them at GameStop. When
that
we worked
we
there.
Did.
But let me ask you guys this. So let's just say that you have a console fails. Are you going to try to get another console just so you don't lose access to those games?
I'll fix it.
I know you will.
And that's, you should have asked me to fix your system.
Knock on wood, I have never had a console fail.
Never had one fail. Okay. Lucky you.
But I would probably do whichever was easiest, so I would just not have that console anymore.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried. Like the PS3s, from what I've experienced, I don't think there is a model that is future proof.
No.
And I think more people are realizing it, and that's why they aren't worth as much as PS2s.
I'll check at my mom's for the PS2. If it's there, I'll bring it for you.
I actually got one for
Oh.
My brother brought me one for
then
my
Then I'll
birthday.
Sell it.
No. Like I said,
now's the time, it sounds like.
I'm keeping my other one, the broken one, for parts for when that one eventually does fail. So, yes, that's something I'm keeping in mind. There's a lot of PS3s being sold for parts.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, that's the only.
I was going to say, and I already have plans to do replace the hard drive and things like that. And there's stuff to do. But I don't know. It's kind of fun to, like, I guess, do the eBay, like, flea market search for games every now and then.
Man, I was using eBay for a long time. I was on it all the time. I have all my saved searches, buying screen accurate clothes, as Clara Oswald's outfits from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Hundreds of dollars. I've since had to sell them all because of bills. But man, some of them I'll never find again. There's one dress in particular. I paid $300. I was able to sell it for $500.
Wow.
Screen accurate and really rare, and it was in a season finale.
All that and more, and Flipper 2023.
Yep. I would play that.
So that would be your simulator that you get into.
I would love to be a merchant.
There is something fun though about the like the challenge of one finding it, finding it at a decent price, and then there is a little bit of a thrill, even though it is a stupid thing from like from a financial to get into a bidding war with someone on it.
Ugh.
Like it's all comes down to who's gonna blink first. Come on. Who's gonna wait out the clock? Who's gonna try to do it in five minutes?
Put 100.
Or which one of us is gonna just finally chicken out and hit the buy it now button?
Oh, I always buy it now. if that's an option.
If it's a good deal, like I've seen a few buy it now prices, I'm like, no, that ain't worth it.
Most buy it now prices are not worth it.
Yeah.
I also got the like. I resold it for about $700, but the when Rogue One came out, Columbia did limited edition jackets to that looked like Jin's vest and stuff, and then one for Cassian. And they're not screen accurate in that they were used on screen, but they.
Wait, I'm sorry. What show was this for?
From Rogue One, the movie.
Oh, Rogue One. Okay, sorry, I missed
it. Just like in the style of.
It looked exactly like it, but it also had like a Columbia patch on it, so it was good for cosplay. So I got the Jin one on eBay for like $500. And then years later, I was able to sell it for $700.
Holy cow.
Sounds like sneakers.
Yeah.
Yep. I wish I could get it.
Don't get me started on eBay sneaker game. It's that is a cutthroat world, ladies and gentlemen. It's too ruthless for Funsphere to get into. As a little bit of a sneakerhead myself, it's a nasty cutthroat world.
I believe it.
That'll be our third podcast, Fun Sphere Sneaker Club.
The sneakiest.
Boom.
Wow, this is a whole different episode. This is so funny.
Yeah. All right, anybody else got anything else to talk about?
We all getting Pokemon?
Oh, I forgot.
I know you're getting Pokemon.
Probably in a couple months.
When does it come out? Is it November?
I think it's December. December.
Damn it. Oh, then maybe, yeah.
It's early December, I believe. Just in time for the holiday season.
That'll be our Christmas presents to each other, as we'll all just get Pokemon.
Who's getting
we'll all buy
Angela,
the same color.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a resounding no. All right. Well, I guess we'll catch you on the next episode, folks. Bye.
Bye.
In today's special episode, the Funsphere gang goes to the movies. This is The Thing. Is good
now
we're rolling. Okay, now we've picked back up where we're going. So like I said, do we want to do the weeks first or you know the months or whatnot, or do we want to do the thing first?
What do you feel most strongly about?
The thing.
All right,
over what I'm doing. All right, so welcome to Funsphere Game Club. Oh wait a minute, welcome to Funsphere Movie Club.
Movie Club?
Hi, I'm Josh.
I'm Mike.
I'm the thing.
Oh, that's right. Today we are talking about John Carpenter's The Thing, the horror movie of 1982 that, you know, we talked previously episodes about how Mike is not really, well-versed in horror movies. Would you say that's correct, Mike? I was going to say, we also missed an opportunity here. We could have gone with, are you Mike? Are you Samantha?
No.
Am I Josh?
Said I'm Mike.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, we'll just we'll give it a quick rundown. The thing is, a 1982 science fiction horror film directed by the legendary John Carpenter. It is based on two things, a 1938 novel called Who Goes There, and there was also an earlier movie from 1951, I believe, called, let me just find it real quick, it's like The Thing, it's not The Thing Alone, I'm trying to find it, hang on just a second.
Oh, we saw it, it was a suggestion.
Yeah.
What was it called?
The Thing from Another World. Yes, from 1951. All right. So, before we get too far into the plot and everything like that, the only thing else I'll notice or I will mention is it is a cult classic film at this point. It is well-loved. Cult classic.
Coke classic.
It is Coke classic. Funny you mention Coke classic because in 1982, spectacular year, by the way, Coke Classic was replaced by New Coke and then shortly brought back 6 months later. So there's a Funsphere fun fact for you.
But it wasn't the same formula.
No, New Coke wasn't. You're right. That's why they called it
New Coke Classic.
Yeah, technically it
wasn't. Wasn't that how they got
rid of the cocaine?
No.
It was like the sugar or something. They replaced it with
high fructose corn syrup at that point.
Oh.
And America was none the wiser. It's almost funny how you can change things out, and sometimes it takes people a while to notice, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You referring to your car?
No, not only that. I was referring more to the plot of the movie. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Why don't you tell me your thoughts on the movie, and we'll keep going.
Did John Carpenter just make Kurt Russell's career?
Technically, Walt Disney made Kurt Russell's career, and then John Carpenter took it to the next level.
Wait, what was he in?
Oh yeah, Kurt Russell was a Disney kid. He was in like the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes and a bunch of those like late 60s, early 70s movies. He was like
he was a child actor.
Yeah, he was a child actor, child to teenage actor.
Good for him.
Chin actor. Because of his chin.
The man does have a strong chin.
I can't see Kurt Russell without thinking of Overboard and how mean he was to Goldie Hawn in that movie.
So your go-to movie for Kurt Russell is Overboard.
It's so traumatizing, that's why.
Okay. It's a good pull. I'm not arguing with it. I'm just think it's, I don't know, Mike, what's your go-to Kurt Russell movie? I think I know, but what is it?
What was that Santa Claus movie he did?
Wait, recent?
Yeah.
Santa Chronicles.
Oh, I remember. God, everybody's parents were going crazy for that movie. It's so fun. And I just remember the McElroys saying, the Santa fucks.
So we're not talking about, like, escape, I don't know, from Escape from New York, Escape from L.A. Yeah, classic things
wait,
like
I've seen
that.
Those.
Yes.
I just saw those not too long ago.
Oh, another
couple years.
Another classics. Tombstone.
L.A. was awful.
Yes. I just watched Tombstone with Skid.
Tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's Wyatt Earp in Tombstone.
That's a movie that happened also.
Okay. All right, well, like
but
I said.
But enough about Kurt Russell.
The thing is
for
also
now,
a film.
The thing is a film. So, Mike, like I said, since you're the newbie to this, to the horror genre, to this movie in particular, let's start out with your thoughts on it.
I thought it was fun.
Okay.
The effects I was impressed by.
Very much. Very.
Just the whole idea. Somebody had to make all of that.
Yeah. And it's not...
Someone had to visualize all of that.
And the funny thing is, like, it was not the guy I think of, Winston, who did all the... effects for Terminator and RoboCop. This was somebody completely different. But yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. This is some of the best on-screen special effects, especially for 1982. Mm-hmm. They were amazing.
I think probably making like frozen blood.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was easier to make look real.
Knowing
than wet.
It's like a snow cone, a cherry snow cone.
It's like solid red.
It is.
Glob.
So when we were watching it, I thought, do you guys think that the Demogorgon was inspired by this movie?
Certainly.
Or was it around? Was this a visual before this movie?
What, from Stranger Things?
Yeah, like the way that...
Oh, yeah.
There's probably an answer that it was technically before this, but I would be shocked if it was anything but this that literally helped with its design. Because, yeah, you're right. There are several times where it's a big special effect thing where it's like it's splitting its mouth open or something like that, and it gets real gnarly real quick.
Yeah.
This is going absolutely.
I watched this morning.
So it's the freshest in your mind.
All I could think about is when the dog looked like a crab spider.
Yes. That's a big thing.
And all the paranoia. I think the tension was good in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big horror fan. I don't like the endings of horror films because they're either like really depressing, or they're really depressing and like not concluded because they want to make a million more.
Okay.
So
all right. Since you brought that point up, did you find this movie to be depressing and or depressing and non-concluded?
It was kind of sad. I mean, they were just waiting to freeze to death, right? Like.
Yep. They were. Maybe.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. See, there's always like a question mark on the end of horror movies.
This one, I will say, I think has the best ending. And so I'm just going to ask you guys, does the monster live at the end?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the highest competing, I guess, internet theory out there is that Keith David's character is actually the monster. Mm-hmm. And there's a, you guys ready to hear the proof for it? It's a very interesting. So you know how they're like at the very end of the movie, spoilers for 1982's The Thing, by the way, that they're like burning everything, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So they're using a flamethrower, but what else are they using?
Molotov cocktails.
That's ice. Correct. They actually make a very big to-do about showing them using Molotov cocktail after Molotov cocktail. And when the monster pops out of the floor, there are two Molotov cocktails, right? Okay, so what happens at the end of the movie? What does it give him?
A drink.
That's right. So do you think it was actually a Molotov cocktail that he gave the monster? And then he would know, hey, this thing is still the monster because it didn't. There's, why would I have an actual drink at this point when I'm on a suicide mission and I know I'm going to die?
Yeah.
So that's the thing. That's the competing theory at the end is it's, yeah, he's totally the thing.
That would just make sense given how horror movies end.
Yeah. And then he kind of gives him like a little chuckle, like knowing smile, like, yeah, you, in the end, you kind of won. All right. So
John Carpenter likes space ghosts, huh?
Yes.
Space monsters.
John Carpenter likes a lot of things, which you guys may or may not know this. His most recent like thing that he's enjoyed, because he retired from making film, I think, in like the mid-2000s. He's a fairly old guy. But you know what he got into?
Legos.
Video games. He's actually like way into them.
Really?
He actually, I think... I'm probably going to misinterpret this, but
please tell me he plays Metal Gear.
He plays all of them. And Roblox. He literally views them as this is like the next evolution of film. Like these things should be considered on the same level as film. All right.
And here we are going backwards, talking about games and then moving on to movies.
So,
I hate this podcast.
I've tried to kill it 3 times, but y'all won't let me. Just like The Thing, it just won't die. Keeps coming back, keeps adapting and modifying into new forms. All right, so I got some other opinion questions, I guess, to keep this train wreck going. Is The Thing an antagonist?
Well, that's a perspective thing, right? Because he's just doing what he does.
Right.
So is it
just like a virus?
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, if you go where a bear is at, it might get you.
Okay, I follow.
But he came to our planet.
Crap! It shows bear, it crashing.
Put a bear in somebody's house. He's confused, and he's still gonna get you.
Has someone recently put a bear in your house? Is that is this?
No. That's all I could think of is like, is it intelligent? Is it like acting maliciously? Like I came here to do this, but I saw its spaceship. Didn't ask to.
Right.
And
didn't ask to get dug up.
Yeah, it's just I don't know if it's just what like what it does, or is it like a like, you know, so a Halloween cat, like
they do. They make a point to make it act threatened.
Yes,
a lot throughout the movie.
They do. I think that's also one of the thing that's very interesting is that, you know, technically it starts out as the dog and it's running away from being hunted down, and you know they give it a justification about why they're trying to do it, but for a good portion of the movie, it is not. It is literally just trying to hide. And that is something that's brought up a lot, is it's doing all this simply to hide because it doesn't want to be found out. But, you know, it also is, it will eventually take over the planet by absorption of the species.
That's fine, I guess. I mean, they lit it on fire. It was screaming a lot.
There's a lot of fire and a lot of screaming in this movie. Okay. So
I would just wonder if by the time it's done, it would just be the planet.
I think that is what it
keep getting bigger and bigger.
I think that is technically what is implied, that it eventually just it becomes the planet until it tries to get off world, which is another thing it tries to do. It tries to build it's literally trying to be like, look, I'm trying to get out of here. These guys are killing me. So I think that's a very interesting thing for a horror movie to do, of being like, you know, I know it's a cliche to be like the real monster was man type deal. So from
Twilight Zone.
Exactly.
The real monster was the friends we made along the way.
That's also true. But like even back, you know, to King Kong, it was, you know, Beauty that killed the Beast and whatnot. I think this is one movie that does it really well, of like, if you sit back, you're like, yeah, this is... The first time you watch it, you're like, oh, this is so gross and so cool. And I also constantly question why the helicopter pilot is basically the chief of this scientific investigation. That's just me, though. But, you know, if Kurt Russell showed up, I'd probably start listening to the things he told me to do, too.
I wouldn't.
Well, I think you would.
I'd gaslight him for an hour and a half.
I think he's pretty much run your life if he shows up.
I would make
him
believe.
Did someone put Kurt Russell in your house? Was it the bear and Kurt Russell? Did Kurt Russell put the bear in your house? Yes or no?
Yes, and I live in an apartment, so it was...
So Kurt Russell put a bear in your house, causing you to move to an apartment. Is that what you're saying?
No, in my apartment. It's 2 floors, though, so it's like a house.
So the bear has the first floor, then?
Yes.
Okay,
and
understood.
Now my cats can't go down there anymore.
Understand.
And because she doesn't have a chimney in her apartment, Santa Kurt wouldn't come visit her.
I didn't watch that movie, so I don't
know. Well, maybe you should, because parents love it.
Well, it's not time for Christmas movies yet.
It could be.
It's
Halloween. When we're, or it's, you know, it's October just now when we're starting to record this. All right, so you guys, as I mentioned, it is a cult classic at this point.
Cult classic.
It's cult classic.
I haven't joined this particular cult, but it wasn't bad.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
So I hate to say it, though, it was a huge commercial and critical failure at the time.
Of course.
I could also see that.
Yeah. Because
anytime I've seen it, like just, I mean, I haven't watched the movie until now, but yeah, like if I've seen it advertised, maybe not advertised, but just seeing it around, it seems very B movie. Like, even though production wise, that was not a B movie.
No, no. But it also went up against a real murderer's row of releases. So, E.T. was released 2 weeks before it. Mm. It came out the same day as Blade Runner. So, you know, most folks were not going to be like, oh, which of these sci-fi movies should I go see? The one with the Kurt Russell or the one with Harrison Ford? So, you know, I think that oh, and Tron, by the way.
Blade Runner wasn't that successful, was it?
No, Blade Runner was, it did better than this. It made, like, this only, like, apparently cracked 20 mil in 82.
Wish I could crack 20 mil.
I was about to say that.
I totally would work for that. Yeah, but, you know, when other movies are making, like, but, you know, oh, actually, I take that back. Apparently, it did, it broke even. It would cost 15 mil to make, and 19 is what it made, so.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
good,
I mean.
Good for her.
It's making a lot of money now. But, like I said, going up against Blade Runner and E.T. and stuff like that, you could see how it maybe didn't crush it in the box office. But I will always remember that it had a huge place of honor in the VHS section of the horror movies, because it has a striking cover. It does. It is something that is always, I've seen it referenced tons of times, and I love this movie.
Oh, The Blob. Okay, I was trying to remember, like, why I have this visual of, like, this dark mass just slowly moving.
Okay.
And I, in my mind, I had always thought of, like, I was thinking that was what I was about to watch. But then that did not happen.
Right.
Because of The Blob.
Okay. So you conflate it with The Blob. I gotcha. Okay. It's cool. It's cool.
It's comforting to know that even that long ago, they were still cranking out weirdly similar movies.
Well, yeah, I mean,
on a yearly basis, like
the classic.
How many magician movies are we gonna get in a year, and how many pirate movies do we get in a year? And then we'll have like 10 years without a pirate movie or a magician movie,
or pirate magician.
But they always land around the same time. So I guess 82 was sci-fi year.
It was. It was a heavy sci-fi year. I was looking up the other movies that came out at the time. Like we mentioned the ones that we talked about. But it was also the years of, let's see here, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, Mad Max 2, which was that? That was The Road Warrior? Yes.
Mm.
Maybe not. I can't remember. Sorry, I can't keep my Mad Max lore straight.
Matter Max.
Mad Max 2, Electric Boogaloo. And like I said, Blade Runner, Wrath of Khan, Conan the Barbarian, Poltergeist, and Tron. And so, yeah, it was definitely, 82 was a sci-fi year. It was. And the year just kept getting weirder and weirder as the months went on. Got especially weird in October for some reason. I can't pinpoint it, but I can just tell you it got weird in 82, in October 82, folks.
Okay,
it
like did. Just movies or the
no.
life?
The universe got stranger.
Oh, you got born.
That's correct. Way to go. There we go. We got there eventually. So we can also tie this back into video games real quick if you want to.
All right.
Okay. So there were Thing video games. None of them very good. But
I'm assuming Atari.
I think it was like NES and
NES wasn't out in 82.
No, I think it was late. This was like, it was made several years after the movie came out. And like, I remember there was a PlayStation 2 game.
What?
Yeah.
What do you do on it?
I think it was like, but you know, the formula for a game of, dealing with imposters in a confined space and, you know, working as a team to try to find them.
Boy, yeah, but every level would be an ice level.
No, would it? What if you took the feeling of the game and, I don't know, put it on a spaceship and had the weird little blobby creatures that you could
whatever
play
do you
as.
Mean?
Wow,
I don't know. So like it would be specific. Weird to deal with something, you know, Among Us that you were dealing with. Yes, Among Us is a freaking The Thing ripoff.
I don't know enough
or inspired
about
by.
Is Secret Invasion going to be a ripoff of The Thing? Is that arc in the comics?
No, I don't think so.
Because of the...
No, but I mean, anything Invasion. But, I don't know. I guess there's some themes like you talked on. Like, the biggest thing in the movie is the tension of, like, are you the monster?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person the monster? You can't trust anyone. They really kept that. It was really good, especially like this was during the Cold War. So that, you know, the tensions were high with other countries. When the original came out, there was a real strong allegory about, you know, the Red Scare, the communist scare in 1951. So they kind of revisited that, I would say.
Always that.
It was kind of a pressing issue for most of the 80s. I can understand if most of you guys don't remember that, but things were tense.
Aren't we going through it right now?
Yeah, this is like Cold War II Electric Boogaloo. So, it's fun.
They already have Boogaloo taken for the second Civil War.
Everything, too, is Electric Boogaloo.
That radical...
That is Funsphere lore. That is the rule of Funsphere. Anything, too, is Electric Boogaloo.
You know, when we had our like time skip in our Pathfinder game and I changed to a Thundercaller bard, my title was Sincera 2 Electric Boogaloo because music and she called thunder.
Oh, this whole thing is reading kind of room floor. It really is.
You know, my friends were asking me what got cut out. And I just said industry secrets.
Oh, well, we tried something new. That's the important part.
No, we can keep doing it.
I know.
I think this is better than it seems on our end.
It usually is. It usually is.
Because it's like, we talked.
Yeah.
And
like I said, we kind of have other stuff going on today, so it's not the most focused recording that we have. Sorry, folks, if we actually do put this out.
I think we should.
I mean, that should just be the tagline of every episode. Sorry we put this out. I'm truly
sorry.
We all sincerely apologize.
I don't.
Okay. But Mike, does this now get your, you know, beak a little wet about wanting to see other horror movies? I don't know if like that's the analogy to use there or not.
Did this
wet your whistle?
I was like, do I use that or not?
Did this get you on a little horror kick?
I mean, especially like for the month we're in, October, this is where I want to play all my scary games and I want to watch all my scary movies. And then I'll do that through the rest of the year.
This time of year makes me want to start a new farm on Stardew.
It always shows up. It's always in the peripheral.
This is over the garden wall season.
It is. Okay. I've been saving it for when I'm up in New York, but it's time to watch it.
But nothing, no interest was piqued for more horror movies or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you find it like, so this is a good example of a horror movie that's not necessarily scary, but it's very tense.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this
I enjoy more psychological.
Yeah. This is definitely, it has one. It has, I think a lot of people will sometimes point to this as maybe one of the best example of like the tension is scarier than the monster. The people that you see on screen and the way they're reacting is scarier than the monster because, like a lot of people pointed out, if this, you know, you get people in a cabin fever type situation,
mm-hmm.
like if you exclude the monster, everything else that happens is really in the realm of possibility. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a crescendo.
It is. And all her tippy tappy toenails.
Yep. There's a lot of dogs in the background.
Or are they?
If you can hear
dun,
them.
Dun, dun.
There's dogs in the background. If you can't.
I got to say, the text reaction I had from you guys was hilarious. Of like your great concern for the dog slash wolf.
Yeah, but then when you actually have to deal with the dogs.
I don't like seeing. Good riddance. I don't like seeing animals get hurt.
I'm about willing to make an exception.
And start hurting some animals on your own. Don't hurt animals, kids. But like, okay, so I'm just going to ask if they had just like. So if you, like, will you just turn off a movie if it's like. I mean, it's obviously the dog is acting. The dog was not really killed.
No, I don't turn it off. But like, I hate when I see an animal in a movie, especially like a tense kind of movie, because then I have to be worried the whole time.
So
speaking of dog acting, I will say that dog in the beginning did a fantastic job.
R.I.P.
Yes, it acted very much like a dog. It was a...
Well, no, I mean, you could tell it was listening to commands, but did everything perfectly.
First take.
It's a professional dog, is what it is.
Uh-oh.
No, we're good here. We're good. All right.
I was going to say, the tension was good. Mm-hmm. It was fine. Like, I'm not like a big gore person either. So like the guy, the frozen guy in the beginning, his like,
oh, gaping, yeah,
that grossed me out. His throat.
So was you had more problems with the like the violence towards the humans?
I just don't like. I'm weird. I love crime scene photos.
Okay.
I love black and white pictures of maimed bodies. I don't like watching people get cut up. Okay.
But you don't technically see him.
Not that one. That one was just gross. Like big.
Yeah, it's awesome.
But as far as horror movies go, I like really creepy atmosphere.
Okay.
Like, so if there is like a ghost or something, I do like that. I like seeing creepy things. I just don't like jump scares, and I don't like gore.
I was going to say, this one is pretty bereft of jump scares for the most part.
And it was so silent, too.
Yes. I was going to say, this is also a good example of you also have the threat of, like, nature in this film.
Yeah.
Because of the remote isolation it's in, and obviously it's in a frozen... research facility, so it's
it seems like a location that it isn't, well, not that I'm an expert on horror, but mm-hmm. not an often used locale.
No, I can't think of too many more, especially like it would be hard to try to sell that to somebody and be like, so this takes place in a research station in Antarctica. Oh, like The Thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of one and done. I don't think you can get away with reusing space stations and stuff like that. I don't think anybody would have the gall, especially since Mr. John Carpenter is held in such high esteem in the world of horror with, you know, his films like this and, you know, that other one, there's a guy that with a mask. Seen. It's about a holiday, Thanksgiving, man. That's it. No, wait.
Nightmare Before Christmas.
No. Wait a minute.
Mars?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Scream.
Oh, yeah. Halloween. Yes, so he...
That's a holiday.
Who is the guy in Halloween?
Michael Myers.
Oh, okay. Shrek.
No, not Shrek. There is literally... that is one of the reasons that Mike Myers used Mike Myers as his stage name was not to be... Because his name is Michael Myers, so...
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
You mean Mike is short for Michael?
Sometimes it is. Oh, well.
Uh-huh.
I'm going through, like, all of a sudden I just started looking at John Carpenter's movie list. Oh, man, he made so many good movies.
John Carpenter's butt.
And you're talking more about the more Kurt Russell things. Something I may have to save for another episode, assuming we do one, is Big Trouble in Little China. Another Kurt Russell, John Carpenter jam. They Live. Y'all aren't ready for that because it's too cool. It is way too cool.
I don't feel like I've seen that.
I mean... You got to love John Carpenter, who's like, I'm going to put a professional wrestler in my movie as the lead actor. With Roddy
Rock?
Roddy Piper. many years before Mr. John Cena or Mr. Dwayne The Rock Johnson were in films, Roddy Roddy Piper stole the show in They Live. Fantastic movie. Great analogies for capitalism. It literally is a whole thing about capitalism in the movie.
Mm.
But so I guess that's the horror movie I've got for you guys right now. Next time I think we try one of these or record one. Samantha, I think you've got the ball. So what are we going to be watching?
Oh, yeah. 2008 masterpiece Speed Racer.
Can't wait. Can't wait for that.
From the Wachowskis.
Wachowskis. Indeed.
Whose house keys?
Ooh, that's a good question, Mike. Whose house keys? Not mine. Or are they really house keys?
When I get a real couch, then people can come over.
Once you get rid of the bear and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see you next time, folks. Bye.
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 Say okay. Bye, dog.
Bye, dog.
Sit, Boo Boo. Sit. Good boy.
How long was that?